Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to another year of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. This is our fourth year of podcasts, you crazy bastards. You're still listening to it for some reason. Joining me to ring in another season, or calendar year, I guess, we still have a ways to go, of Mets baseball is Aaron York, Steve Sippa, and Kate Feldman, assembled co-hosts. It's the new year. They say it's the new year, and I don't feel any different. But what is your podcast-related New Year resolution?
I'll go first, I guess. I'd like to be in the podcast more, which is something I haven't been able to do just because I work so many nights. And
your laptop is incredibly loud every time you're on?
Is it? So should I just speak softly?
Or louder, I don't know.
What does that mean?
One of the two. But continue.
Okay.
It's gone away now.
All right, great. Yeah, hopefully I'll be on more. I like doing this, just being able to talk to people outside of Slack, which is the program we use to talk about news stories and random stuff, is cool. And, yeah, these are fun, so I want to try to do a few more this year, maybe once a month or something. But, yeah, it's going to be an awesome year. Mets are in good shape, even though people are going to complain about the front office not doing anything. It's the same thing
on this podcast, probably.
So, it's going to be fun. Mets have talented players, and it's fun to talk about the Mets, so I'm looking forward to doing this more often, hopefully in 2016.
Steve Sippa.
Well, my podcast resolution is to be more fun and engaging, I think. I took random Facebook commenters, criticisms of us being boring.
I thought it was Greg and I specifically that were the boring ones, though.
Still, all right, well, then that's good then. I'm the fun one.
Yeah, you're the fun one.
That's a first.
Kate.
Not so squeaky, because apparently that's a thing that I do.
You're not as squeaky as Steve Schreiber, so don't worry about it.
Oh, God. I actually listened to that one.
You just gotta smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, and you're good.
That was the suggestion from Hank, as I recall.
I purposely not recorded myself since, middle school, and then I listened to the first one I was on, and it was bad.
I've gotten used to sound of my voice on this podcast. Maybe we've done 160-something of them at this point. Not that I love it or anything. My podcast, New Year's Resolution, is not to do 68 podcasts this year. I didn't actually, I was thinking about the math in my head between, prep time and recording time and post-production time. Literally weeks of my life were spent on this podcast.
You love us.
It's been such a great boon to my career. Actually, it probably has, but whatever. The other thing, of course, is to improve the sound quality, because I love there's an Onion piece from last year called Podcaster Makes Solemn Promise to Improve Sound Quality Next Episode, which is almost as specifically targeted to me as the very famous John Main takes pitch requests at poorly attended late season Mets Nationals game from Onion Sports a few years ago. I thought about getting one of those, giant little, mini soundproof boxes you can, stick your head and your mic in. They sell on, Amazon. But I don't know if I can also fit, a double old-fashioned glass in there with me. Which is kind of a deal-breaker. I guess a straw, yeah, I could work a big, swizzle stick or something.
That just sounds really creepy.
It's just like a little box. A little box you stick your head in.
No big deal. Just a box.
Just a box. It's not like some sort of saw scenario, Steve. This is episode 165 of Amazing Avenue Audio, our first of 2016. I may or may not remember to update the metadata to say 2016 when I post this later tonight. We'll see how it goes. And because it's January, there's not much to talk about. Well, there wasn't much to talk about. Now there's a little bit more to talk about, but I don't know how much it impacts the 2016 Mets. But we will talk about Paul DePodesta leaving the Mets front office to take over the Cleveland Browns. All I can think of is that the Simpsons Hank Scorpio episode. The end is let's take over the Dallas Cowboys against the Denver Broncos. I think the Cleveland Browns are the mid-1990s Denver Broncos equivalent at this point. Well, let's talk about the Mets AA affiliate staying in Binghamton. We'll answer your emails, of course. We have an IFK Gothenburg update. Yeah, they're back. But we will open the podcast with something I did another podcast New Year's resolution of mine was not to talk about Daniel Murphy's valuation at any point in 2016, but we have to do it one more time because over our holiday break, he signed with the Nationals for 3 years and $37.5 million. What are we to make of this, assembled co-hosts?
I'm fine with it.
I'm also fine with it.
I'm fine with it. I just want to know what the Nats spent the last few years going, yeah, we'll take that.
So the thing about, they still, they needed to shuffle their infield in some form coming into 2016. Ian Desmond was a free agent. They had no interest in re-signing Ian Desmond. They have Trey Turner, who's one of the better shortstop prospects in baseball and is very close to Major League ready, if not already Major League ready. I mean, they certainly called him up at the end of last season and didn't use him. So if they're clawing back service time now, that's kind of hilarious since they called him up for no reason last year. But I mean, as of right now, Danny Espinosa is their starting shortstop, or I suppose Stephen Drew.
Yeah, they signed a lot of middle infielders, like within a week.
I mean, Murph makes sense for them in so much that he can play second, so it allows you to move Rendon to third, and Rendon's bad ankle specifically to third. And then if Rendon gets hurt, you can move Murphy to third. If Ryan Zimmerman gets hurt or is terrible or is suspended for using PEDs, you can move Murph to first. You know, it gives you some flexibility. He's a useful player. I don't know if you want to value that at $37.5 million, but good for Daniel Murphy. It's almost kind of sad. Like every story I hear is like, oh, Daniel Murphy, like, really wanted to re-sign with the Mets. Really badly.
That was heartbreaking.
It is kind of, in a weird way. Like, it's like, we've talked about Daniel Murphy a lot on this show over the last 3+ years of podcasts. And it is kind of like, because this is something we'll get into later in the show, just when he answers some emails, but you kind of want, there is something to be said, like he wants to play for the Mets. That should probably matter to us.
And he wanted to before they were, like, the Mets that we know now. Like, he always kind of felt like he was there for the Mets.
Yeah, he is the holdover from the bad old days.
Yeah, he stuck with them.
I wish he were a better defensive second baseman.
I'm just glad he turned out to be a second baseman. I remember when he was tearing it up in Binghamton. He was this kid on the farm. He's like, no, the Mets have no position for him. And then, hey, why don't they try him at second base? No, he could never play second base. And then
he immediately got hurt as soon as they played him at second base.
he turned out to be satisfactory. Which
yeah,
is
that's a good way to describe the Daniel Murphy experience. It was satisfactory.
And back when he was just the guy in the minor leagues, if you told me that he was gonna do what he did as a major leaguer and that the Mets would consider bringing him back on a qualifying offer, That would be beyond what I expected. So for a guy that I remember following in the minor leagues, it's been a really long trip for him, but I'm not really shedding any tears. I mean, he was all right. And I'm a root for laundry guy. Like, that's cool that he wants to play for the Mets. I'm sure Neil Walker will be perfectly happy in Queens as well. And hopefully play slightly better defense, hit a few more home runs.
Yeah, same. Would you rather have Neil Walker on 1 year, $10 million-ish, or Murph for $37.5 million?
And Walker's a much better value.
He's a much better value. Yep. It allows you to give Dylson Herrera another year, who I think they still see as a second baseman of the future. But it gives you, in 2016, win-now Mets mode, which is so fucking weird. gives you a little more surety at the position. And he's a better, it feels like Neil Walker is not a good defensive second baseman. Fine, Neil Walker is a below average defensive second baseman. He's better than Daniel Murphy.
And Walker also, it's also the ripples. It means there's no niece, and it means we got Bartolo back. And
sure, you can't.
Everything comes with the package.
Bartolo and his rope exercises. We'll also get into that later. Don't worry, I noticed. It's on the podcast agenda. I think for the Nats, I mean, look, there's going to come a time some big game in the summer if the division's close. The Mets are going to re-sign Tyler Clippard, and Daniel Murphy's going to hit some big dong off him in the eighth inning of a close game. It's going to happen. It's bang nailed on.
Of course.
But I think, you know, I can raise the what's left in my glass, the Daniel Murphy era. He hit a lot of home runs in the playoffs. And it was good, and I think everyone's in a good place now.
Yeah, it's just a situation where everybody it works out for everybody. Murphy gets his payday. The Mets are not left in a position where, you know, we're now scrambling to find someone to replace him.
We're locked into a long-term deal with him, long-ish term. And this podcast never has to discuss his valuation again.
Just you wait.
We will.
Yeah, probably. By, like, May 15th. Also in a good situation, maybe, is the Mets. I'm going to get this job title wrong, probably. I believe. I should look this up.
I still have it.
You don't know Paul DePodesta's old job title of fan? I want to say it's senior.
Old job title or senior?
His new job title is Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer for the Cleveland Browns, which is some corporate bullshit. His old title, I believe, was Senior Vice President of Player Development.
And Amateur Scouting.
And Amateur Scouting, right, because he's in charge of the draft, too. So there you go. He no longer has that job title. He has the job title we just mentioned for the Cleveland Browns. I have no frame of reference for this. I know it's stuff kind of like this has happened before, but this is weird. And yes. It's just weird. It's just weird. And I'll say, of course, Paul DePodesta, podcast guest, has been good to me and Amazing Avenue and the show in general. I wish him well in his future endeavors. Yeah, Steve got that joke. this is bizarre. And it doesn't really affect the Mets in 2016. Because the stuff he does from a developmental and draft standpoint, I'm sure he's in the room for major league decisions. I don't doubt that for a second. But, you know, this is more of a systemic thing. It sounds like they're going to promote from within, which is they highly value continuity. But I've seen that with the Kevin Morgan promotion from Director of Minor League Ops, takeover field coordinator from Dick Scott, which happened today as well. But it's weird. It's really fucking weird.
My favorite was that it was just, like, so subtle at first. Just, like, that one tweet. Like, it was no big deal. Like, oh, hey, by the way.
I don't know if it's a big deal or not or what it means. I mean, this is not a football podcast.
Yeah.
And I can't speak. I was amused by people saying, like, he's, like, an statistical analysis guy. I mean, he is. That's a club in his bag. But I think baseball has advanced to the point where it's you can't really look at that in black and white terms. Dude's behind the backstop more than I am. He's comes from a scouting background originally with the Indians. Essentially, his job title now, or previously with the Mets, involves a lot of scouting. Does he have a grasp of advanced metrics and advanced statistical analysis and stuff like that? Sure, of course. That's got to be a club in your bag if you're an assistant GM in baseball at this point. And sure, DePodesta might have been ahead of the curve with that, and football's behind the curve to a certain extent, but it is just weird for me to hear that. Because when you say, and I know it's scouting and stats has to be in everybody's portfolio if you're working in a major league front office at this point. But when people say, like, advanced statistical analysis, dude, sort of in the media or in the public sphere, they mean a very specific type of person. They mean, like, you know, Mike Fast, Colin Wires. They mean, like, an analytics expert, which I don't know if really fits with DePodesta. But he's always wanted to work in football, so good for him. This is just weird. And he's going to somehow a worse ownership group after leaving the McCourts. To the Wilpons, to Cleveland.
He has a type.
Mm. San Diego, as I recall, wasn't great. I mean, they were just sort of generically cheap, though.
And there's nowhere to go but up. He should have.
I mean, if he like gets into the playoffs next year somehow, he's going to be worshipped in Cleveland. Like, Joe Posnanski will write a book about him, essentially, is what is going to happen.
That would be a big deal, but nothing's worked there, so he's going to have freedom to do some creative things if he wants to, wants to do some on traditional things, I think they'll let him do it just because they're always looking for an answer. They're also looking for a quarterback, but
you don't think Johnny fucking football is the
I love Johnny football, but at this point it's just this recent story is just getting so ridiculous that it looks like he might have to go back to rehab or something, and who knows if he'll ever be seen on a football field again. So I'm going to be drafting a quarterback.
I have to hype the job. The Daily News story was pretty much and it was fantastic. And they also photoshopped like a blonde wig onto him.
Oh, I have to see that. The Photoshop
blonde. It was actually incredible.
So it doesn't like they're going to stick internally, which is a thing that they do, obviously. So I imagine Tommy Tanis, who already has a big role in the draft, will take over the draft fully. You know, Adam Fisher is the name that's already come up from Adam Rubin and others. I mean, he fulfills the need for a Harvard graduate in every baseball front office. He might take more of a player dev role, similar to what DePodesta was doing. They're going to have to find two or three guys to fulfill his role, I feel like. I don't think Ricciardi's going to slide over. I think he's happy where he is now. You know, is this good for guys like TJ Barra and Ian Levin? Sure. And the names that only come up on this podcast and occasionally on Twitter, essentially. So for that kind of like, you know, front office sturbation things that only this show cares about, sure. Those are names you're going to hear in the coming weeks. And again, for 2016, not really a big deal. The wheels are in motion for whatever's going to happen. And DePodesta's role was more draft and player development, as my wife is calling me.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
I texted her to say we were going to my buddy's house after this, so. And did she not think I'm recording a podcast? What's happening here?
Maybe she wants to contribute.
Hang on, she might have texted me. Hang on. I gotta wait I already sent her a voicemail, but it's not a...
We could edit all this out.
No, it's fine. No, I'm not going to, obviously. No, she didn't. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you could text her.
I don't know what she wants. She should be home by now, really.
Now I'm, like, worried.
And it's fine. Okay. If it's important, she'll leave a voicemail. I'm a millennial, so I don't really pick those up, but...
Oh, God.
Says the person 10 years younger than me.
I'm sorry.
And it's fine.
Well, okay, I have a question that might have been answered on this podcast, but I went to the bottom of DePodesta's wiki.
Yeah.
He appeared uncredited on several episodes of Homicide: Life on the Street.
Wait, what?
This is not a thing that we all know about.
No, I did not know about this until...
The very last line on his Wikipedia page.
That is new information to me. Anybody else? I feel like I watched a lot of Homicide: Life on the Street.
I had never heard of it.
Never heard of the show. Never heard of the game. Yes.
Because I'm a baby. We've established that.
So that would have been what,
93 to 99.
When it ran. So depending on when he uncredited Paul DePodesta appearances, was he just doing like some extra work to pay for Harvard? I feel like that's unlikely. They filmed in Baltimore, so.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was really, really exciting, actually.
It is kind of exciting. Now, I'm sure it's on Netflix. I kind of want to go back and find out what episodes he was on.
Oh, jeez. I should have actually, like, Googled it and seen if anyone had picked up on this.
So he's somewhere in there with, like, 6 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, probably?
Probably. I mean, you got Paul Atanasi or whatever at a house, but I'm sure you can get something from there.
After he wins Cleveland a Super Bowl and comes back to the Mets, you can ask him.
If he wins a Super Bowl and a World Series at some point, that would be kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It would?
That would probably be a first. Apparently he's already the first executive to win 5 division titles with different teams or something. That was in that Cleveland press release. So...
Did he win a division title with the... Well, I guess, are they counting his time in Oakland?
Probably.
Yeah, the word executive really has no meaning in baseball because of title creep anymore anyway.
He's only the general manager with the Dodgers.
Yeah. But
they won the first year he was there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm guessing...
But just ask T.J. Symers. That was all the work of his predecessor, so...
Yeah.
I found it. Sorry, I got distracted. From the San Diego Union Tribune. Whoa.
Yeah, disable your autoplay ads. Yep, no, disable your autoplay. You have ad blocker? Come on.
That's how I get paid. I don't have that. Anyway, he was 22 and he like sent his like mugshot in, which I don't know what that means. But
headshot, probably not mugshot.
It said mugshot. So
it's yeah. Was he arrested? I'm pretty sure it's his headshot.
I'm just reading. I'm not analyzing.
Shot is what actors use.
Yes.
Mugshots is what
criminals.
Hey, maybe he's got a secret life. I don't know.
We're delving into his secret life right now.
Yeah. Anyway, he was 22 when he played a cop, and he had no lines. So
I'm curious about this now. Do you have the episode title? I'm gonna look this up later.
No, because it like yelled at me and had ads, so I closed.
Yeah, it's fine.
So he was essentially an extra, I guess.
Yeah, that's
no
fine.
Lines, not really an extra.
A girl I went to college with was like a credited actor on Law and Order as like a tattoo artist character that shows up in the first act to nice. Identify people.
I think everyone did Law and Order or CSI. I think everyone has done.
I think she got the role specifically because she has a Renaissance era map of the world tattooed on her head.
On her head.
On her head, which she got when she was, I think, 18. She got to Hampshire when she was 16, I think.
The side of her head?
No, the whole, like, skull. It's like a full skull tattoo.
So, oh. Yeah, so, but...
The only person potentially listening to this podcast and knows who I'm talking about is Jason Wojciechowski, so I feel pretty safe here. We should probably move on to the last of our main topics. Which is the B-Mets are staying in Binghamton. Maybe.
Yay.
Maybe.
Yay.
I alluded recently.
What do you mean, maybe?
I alluded recently to the team possibly moving to Delaware because the Wilmington group was suing the previous ownership.
Too many Phillies fans down there.
Yeah. And since they won in court, I figured they would end up getting the team and moving in some sort of settlement that would involve them getting the team and moving the team to Wilmington, which is what I had heard sort of, you know, on background and stuff like that. Turns out that the league, the Eastern League in this case, was going to refuse that sale. So the group backed out and they sold to a group that will keep them in Binghamton, or at least they're saying they will. Lynn Worthy, who does a great job covering them up at the Press on Bulletin there, which really only matters only to people like me who cover the minor league affiliates and are starved for any sort of news, and Lynn does the best job out of all of them.
He does.
He had a column recently, and I was like, look, there are attendance issues there. There have been. That's why there was a shingle put out front to begin with. It's an old stadium. They don't draw. The region has lost population over the last 20 years. If you go there in April and early May to night games, like I have in the past, it's a miserable experience.
I was going to say, it can't be that warm.
And I do have a fondness for Binghamton. I really do. I like going to the Lost Dog Cafe for coffee and scones and shit like that. They just opened a new, like, Mediterranean and Middle Eastern influence place that's really good that I also went to brunch because Lost Dog Cafe is closed on Sunday. They have one nice bar that does decent Mexican food too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I was just up there. My girlfriend's brother graduated from Binghamton University, so I was at a dive bar there. Was at an Italian restaurant there.
It's like every other Eastern League city. I found like three restaurants I can work around while I'm there, but it's not practical for me. I mean, you know, especially now, but you know, even as a Met specific guy, I could see them what, a dozen times more than that between New Britain and New Hampshire, both of which are shorter drives. And Hartford, assuming they ever get the fucking stadium built, I will also have that available to me.
Go Goats.
Yeah, they might have played their full first month on the road, it looks like.
Oh.
It's amazing. It's funny when you work with Northeast contractors. There are like these crazy cost overruns for like concrete and metal. I don't know.
Let's not talk about that.
I couldn't possibly speculate. But I'm happy. I like the B-Mets. My wife likes the B-Mets. She hasn't gotten her picture taken with the B, which she really wants to do. I'll probably get up there at some point this year. Because why not? think Aaron's computer has finally bored itself into oblivion. This is good. So I think we can move on to your emails. Anyone have any great Binghamton thoughts before we do that? I mean, I like having a long-term affiliate. I think there is a certain... like, I like they've been in Kingsport for a while. I like they've been in St. Lucie for a while.
Exactly. You won't have to pay the Columbia Fireflies fine if the Binghamton Mets left Binghamton.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, Wilmington, Delaware isn't a particularly longer drive for me, but... or just another crappy northeastern city I'd have to figure out. I don't know Wilmington. I know Dover. I went to a couple of CZW shows in Dover, which again is a reference that only Steve will get. In like the patio of a bar. Dover?
Yeah.
I can't recommend much. I was on the one main strip of Dover. There was a bar where I saw like wrestlers hitting each other with light tubes, and then there's a Bob Evans as well.
So I made the right life.
Yeah, probably.
Forgetting it. All right. I like that.
Now we'll move on to your emails. Before we do emails, we do housekeeping. It's Amazing Avenue Audio, episode 165. Aren't you glad you've joined us for our fourth year of podcasts? Amazing Avenue Audio is the official podcast of your SB Nation. Stop shuffling. Who is shuffling?
Oh, I went to put my beer down.
Yeah.
I didn't. That makes noise.
Apparently, can you just buy a USB headset mic? Can you do that? I'll put you on once a month if you buy a USB headset mic. I'll send you the link. It's $20. It's a Logitech. Just buy it.
Yeah, I'll look it up on Amazon.
You can do that. It's probably less than $20 there.
Oh, because it's the mic on the computer. That's why it's...
oh, yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, it's not a good thing. Amazing Avenue Audio Google. Is the official podcast of your SB Nation, New York Mets, State, Amazing Avenue. You can find us on the internet at amazingavenue.com. I'm punchy tonight. I apologize to my co-hosts and listeners. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. And join our Facebook group at facebook.com/AmazingAvenue. You can find the podcast on iTunes. Just search for Amazing Avenue Audio, and you can listen or subscribe right there. I encourage you to do both. I also encourage you to rate and review the podcast. You find the podcast on the Stitcher app. Download directly from blogtalkradio.com/AmazingAvenue. Or listen to the embedded player that goes up in the podcast post at Amazing Avenue proper. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Paternostro. My co-hosts this week are Aaron York. You can follow him on Twitter at Appy5000. That's APY5000. Is it 500 or 5000? I got that right?
Yeah, 3 0s. 5000.
3 0s, good. Kate Feldman, you can follow on Twitter at, is it Kate E. Feldman?
Yeah, my parents think they're funny.
I'm doing this from memory at this point, so not a good sign. And my last co-host is Steve Sippa. You can follow on Twitter at Steve Sippa. That was the housekeeping. These are your emails. This podcast is a train wreck. But this week, we will have the depressing domestic violence email at the start of the email segment instead of the end of the email segment like we did last time. Oh, yeah, some of you don't get these emails. Dear Jeffrey and fellow Mets aficionados, how did the Yankees give up so little for Aroldis Chapman? It's in the supplemental first rounder the Yanks get if Chapman leaves at end of season. Worth as much or more than this poo-poo platter. What would the Mets equivalent package look like? The Reds have their hearts set on a corner infielder, middle infielder, and two pitchers. Gavin Cecchini, Johan Urania, Akil Morris, and Blake Taylor. You're breaking Steve Sippa's heart right now, Rob. Leave the Yanks package in the dust. Am I right? Blake Taylor just had Tommy John surgery. Finally, what the fuck? Is it the domestic violence allegations? Yes.
Of course
it is. I know the Mets have a stellar record when it comes to being a gender-inclusive work environment. Hashtag. Open.
End sarcasm.
Open brackets. Yeah, slash end sarcasm. Baseball terms only. Chapman and Familia at the end of games would turn other teams into Nazis at the end of Indiana Jones movies. He makes $8 million next year. The Mets just signed Ayaza for $5.75 plus incentives next year. This ultimately redounds to just Exhibit 6,873 in the People versus Fred Wilpon. Correct, very truly yours, Rob. So I believe, as I recall, the Mets inquired around this past July 31st trade deadline on Aroldis, but shockingly, hashtag shockingly, found the return demanded to be too high. Now, this was obviously, of course, before the domestic violence issues, we can probably conclude the price the Yanks paid was a discount because of them. So package. I'll throw this out to the group with the caveat that I like Rookie Davis less than other prospecty sources, which you would know if you read my Yankees top 10 list on Baseball Prospectus, free to all. I know it went up December 23rd, which is kind of, you know, whatever. A Mets return would have been something like Cecchini. I'll go with that as sort of your Jagiello equivalent. If you want a Rookie Davis-ish arm, you can pick one of Robbie Zelman, Chris Flexen, or Gabriel Yanoa. Let's say LJ Mazzilli and Seth Lugo for the sort of the back-end guys. And honestly, I think they can take that money on with minimal difficulty. It's exactly the type of deal they have taken on in the last, you know, 9 months or so. This is sort of a years out versus dollars spent kind of thing. And that isn't bad for a year of an elite closer to pair with Familia at the back of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But co-host, would you do it?
No. And it has nothing to do with baseball, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'd probably do it.
Steve Sippa?
Yes, because ultimately, at the end of the day, all these people only are relevant to me in terms of my liking the Mets, following baseball. Aroldis Chapman probably is a shitty person. I mean, you can't, there's no, you know, defending or supporting someone who, allegations or not, you know, was abusive to his wife, girlfriend, whatever. But, I mean, I don't know, there's just probably so many people like that in the world. And
that's fucking bullshit, Steve Zivot.
No, it doesn't mean to put them on a pedestal, though.
I know
what he's saying. So this has come about recently in a sort of a roundabout way in regards to my soccer fandom, which is something you're going to be hearing about in 2016 on this podcast, like every other year. It's not specifically about this issue, but it does get to the core of what do you want to root for? And I've been guilty of this in the past, certainly. You know, look at my Flores mea culpa from last summer. So Sheffield Wednesday, the English soccer team I root for, has Premier League aspirations now. They have money. They are 2 points off a playoff spot as we record this podcast. And you know, it's sort of come up on Wednesday Twitter, as it were. They're sort of looking – the people they target as sort of like the scapegoats when the team doesn't do well are – there's two players specifically that have come up recently. One sort of more overarching than others, Addie Newhew, who's one of their strikers and also Greg Karam's favorite Sheffield Wednesday player, because I referred to him as the Albanian Pele on the podcast before. and Liam Palmer, who grew up in Sheffield as a Wednesday fan and came to the youth system. And yes, neither of these players are probably fits for the team going forward for what their aspirations are. They have Premier League aspirations. These are not Premier League quality players. But you know, they play for the shirt, as sort of as soccer fans would say. And I think that matters to me now. And I don't know why. And Aaron sort of alluded to this sort of like rooting for laundry thing. And I get that. I do. And Aroldis Chapman makes this team better in the regular season and in the playoffs. No doubt. When we're watching like Addison Reed try to hold like meaningful games in September in the eighth inning. You're going to wish that Aroldis Chapman was in that bullpen. You know, it's easy in hindsight to say now, but another shutdown reliever, games 1, 4, and 5 of the World Series maybe play out differently. And generally, Steve's right. You don't know. Did you suspect Jose Reyes? Johan Santana was accused of sexual assault on a golf course, and that just sort of went away. You know, what is the price you're going to pay to win baseball games as a fan? I do wonder about that. And Meg Rally, I'll plug the brand, has done some great stuff about that at Baseball Prospectus recently. And you can hide behind his not being arrested all you want. That's fine. This is not a court of law. The standard for who I root for should not have to pass a strict reasonable doubt test. You know, will I renege on this when the Mets re-sign Tyler Clippard? And as I said, he gives up a big eighth inning home run to Daniel Murphy sometime in, like, July? I don't know. I mean, as fuck if I know. I don't... This team is good now. And even with the shitty offseason, it's been kind of a shitty offseason, it's still a good baseball team. And I don't need another reason to feel sleazy about rooting for them. I have enough.
That's my thing. I think, especially now that they're good, I think even more of a reason, and people are paying attention, that you should still be holding your team to a higher standard, on and off the field. And I will talk about this until I'm blue in the face.
I mean, I'm fine with, like, there's a certain amount of assholedom I accept in my baseball player. There's, like, a baseball brand of asshole that is kind of unavoidable.
Oh, if you want to be Matt Harvey, you be Matt Harvey. Right, like, right, I'm going to hate you, but it's whatever.
Or A.J. Pierzynski, and there's a million guys like this in the majors. Because there's a certain amount of egotism that it takes to get to that level in the first place, I think. Mm. You know, the Brandon McCarthys of the world, or whatever Dan Heron was tweeting out yesterday. You know, those are rare within baseball. And there is a certain amount of sort of... It demands a certain level of, like, sociopathy to... I think that's actually pronounced right. You got to be a little bit of a sociopath.
You did pronounce that right.
Yeah. To be an elite baseball player, I feel like.
But there's a line.
There is a line.
There is a very strong line.
And it does kind of also track with how good a baseball player you are. That's why Aroldis Chapman is still an in-demand baseball player. Why Milton Bradley continued to get jobs. It's why, for some fucking reason, the Texas Rangers signed Matt Bush right out of jail. You know, this stuff happens. I just rather root for Carlos Torres. He seems like a cool dude.
I never particularly thought that Carlos Torres had a personality.
He probably doesn't, and that's fine. He's really fast, apparently.
Like, hey, there we go.
The one thing I know about him, he's like, they always say he's like the fastest dude on the team.
Actually, Matt, I don't remember what it was, some sporting event. This is how much I pay attention. Matt's like went to a game with Jose Reyes the other day. Like on his Instagram.
He was just in, where was he, like, is he like in the Dominican doing missionary stuff? I feel like he was recently.
No, it was like some like suite, like it was like here, I think.
It's probably here. I mean, Reyes still lives on Long Island.
That's true.
Matt is a Long Island guy.
You got like an Islanders game? Was it a baseball game? I've had a baseball game. It's 25 degrees out. Yeah, I know.
Oh God, I hope it wasn't an Islander game.
I don't
play on Long Island anymore.
It was an Islanders game.
Right. That makes sense to see that Matt's is a Long Islanders fan. Reyes lives like I
always assumed like Steven Matz was just like some adorable like kid I went to college with. And I just don't like it.
You didn't like that he was hanging out with Reyes?
I don't know. I don't know what Reyes did. I don't know if it's true. I just get squeamish about it. Very well could be.
This is true of Chapman. It was certainly true of Reyes. Sort of the level it has to rise to for the police to get involved with like rich famous dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I am not inclined to give either the benefit of the doubt.
Cool. And Chapman admitting the gunshot but nothing else. That was just odd.
Yeah, that was disturbing, just that he might say he'd be just okay with admitting that.
Right. Like, oh yeah, that part of it was fine and it
no. Yeah, like as if like that
just
was
shot up my garage.
Bad yeah. Enough.
Yeah, you know, it's what boys do.
That was our fun domestic violence email. Now we'll go on to trade proposals with Ben.
Yay.
Gentlemen, with the Cincinnati Reds in an apparent fire sale, and the Mets reportedly still looking for an outfielder, should the front office renew talks for Jay Bruce? I know he is left-handed and the Mets looking for a right-handed hitter, but could he be had on the relatively cheap end, say Montero and Nimmo?
I wouldn't even give up that much.
We're kicking it old school on Amazing Avenue Audio with a Jay Bruce trade proposal. Yeah, I mean, they're looking for depth. He's not going to start over Granderson and Conforto. And you can make a decent shout. He's better in center than Daza. He's not playing there. I do want to... So, yeah, this isn't going to happen. I do want to talk about people, including Rafael Montero, and trade proposals this offseason, including, like, the bizarre John Harper deal proposed in the Daily News recently. I will just mute your mic, Kate. It's fine.
I'm not taking credit for that.
I get the Zach Wheeler trade proposals, though I wouldn't be inclined on either end of those kind of deals to make them. At least with Tommy John, there's somewhat predictable recovery with generally sort of linear progress over 18 months. Montero has thrown 2 innings in winter ball since leaving a rehab start where he was touching 90, complaining of shoulder discomfort shortly after having his effort questioned publicly by his manager. No one is trading for that dude. Let's be clear. I hope it works out for him. I hope his shoulder's fine. I hope he comes back looking like Rafael Montero. Keep him out of your trade proposals. As a general suggestion. But yeah, it's going to be a right-handed dude. It's going to be like Steven Pierce.
Someone said the other day he's still even looking for like 3-year deals.
Jay Bruce or Steven Pierce?
Steven Pierce. That's two.
Jay Bruce is still property of the Cincinnati Reds, right? Yeah, that's good luck with that.
It might not have been completely reputable, but I know I saw that.
No, it's like, look, it's, we know how this plays out. It's going to be a Daz and Lagares platoon-ish thing in center. Conforto and Granderson in the corners. We'll see how it goes. They'll just trade for some dudes on July 31st that'll hit 20 dingers again. It's fine. They have the pieces to do that. Don't worry about it.
It works.
100% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
We're 1-for-1 so far. So.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Our final email is from Willie. Hey, Jeff. I have always kind of thought that Flushing, Queens was a boring location for a baseball stadium, considering the incredible uniqueness of New York. Let's imagine that Citi Field collapses on New Year's Eve with no one in it except Jeff and Fred, R.I.P. A new benevolent owner... This has gotten dark. A new benevolent owner comes to rebuild the stadium, and for some reason is allowed to build it anywhere in the 5 boroughs. He comes to ask you where to put it. You can either answer this question practically, considering the ease of transportation, traffic, etc., with malice, New Jersey or Long Island, for example, neither of those are the 5 boroughs, and Steve's going to get upset. Or fantastically, the middle of Midtown with skyscrapers, casting shadows, waterfront spots, Liberty Island. Actually, answer all three, the more specific, the better. Love the show, Willie. So I don't specifically have a tie to Queens baseball. I'm not a true New Yorker. I can sign the pledge, having been born and grown up in Connecticut, I guess. But I will say that Flushing is an easier drive for me coming from Connecticut than just about any place you would stick it in or around New York City, except maybe like Astoria, Woodside, Sunnyside, over the Triborough kind of stuff. So I'm not inclined to move them.
When did Queens stop becoming cool anyway?
Queens was never cool.
Right about the time everyone got priced out of Williamsburg and decided they didn't want to move to Bed-Stuy. Essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd move them to Brooklyn or someplace, or Manhattan, if, I mean, Manhattan's obviously not practical at all. Maybe to the old Polo Grounds, but that's just as not great a neighborhood, probably, as where they are now, although at least there's stuff around there instead of just chop shops. But they're supposed to be building some stuff at Willets Point.
Yeah, and eventually.
I like taking...
Long after we're all dead. Maybe not Kate.
Wait, Aaron, aren't you my age?
Oh, I'm closer to Jeff. I'm 29.
All right, just kidding. I tried.
Yeah, I still feel young. I'm right out of college.
I'm just not going to the Bronx for anything. I had a friend that moved to Washington Heights many years ago from Astoria. I'm like, I'll never see you again.
Yeah.
Which was literally true. I went to her... Actually, wasn't I went to her like going away party when she moved back to the West Coast like 4 years later. That was it.
Wow.
That's the way it works.
No, that's a big move, Queens.
Anything that requires me to drive any length of time on the BQE is out, so sorry, all of Queens and Brooklyn, essentially. I spent four years going back and forth visiting my wife, driving the entire length of the BQE to Bay Ridge. I will never do that again.
Yeah, I cannot drive in the city.
Staten Island's out, I feel like.
Nah, that's way in, man.
Yeah. Long Island City? Yeah. Long Island City! I feel like they're gonna like be knocking down shit on the waterfront there for years, so. Long Island City might work.
Ugh. Anywhere on Long Island would be a pain in the butt for me to get to.
Long Island City is in Queens. It's one stop on the 7 over the bridge. Over the, under the water. Not really over the bridge.
I didn't know that was still considered Queens. But that wouldn't be that much farther. I guess you just... The one thing, the LIRR is in Penn Station, so I wouldn't have to, like, go up to 42nd Street to catch the 7.
There's nothing wrong with Flushing.
Flushing's great.
There really isn't. Yeah, the 7 Express...
I love that train. Don't tell him that. It saves me so much time.
It does. I don't mind the 7. I spend a lot of time on the 7. I don't mind it.
As long as it's the Express.
It's the only place I know how to get to in New York, so I'm fine with it.
The Lexington and Avalon's are way worse, and I'm never taking the ACE again if I can avoid it. 7's not that bad.
No, 7's great. Yeah, I took the ACE up to JFK.
That's the only reason you should ever take it.
Yup. Although that wasn't that bad, but the 7 shorter, and those Express on the weekdays are clutch, and they got that scene in Men in Black because it was in Queens.
Those were your emails. You can email the podcast at podcast@masonavenueaudio.com. So we're introducing a new segment. We're still 43 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, so we have some time to kill. I will say, the nice thing about playing an extra month is the offseason is shorter by a month. This feels like a really short offseason.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe not for people that have to, you know, actually fill content during it. But I do want to introduce a new segment, and we're going to make pop culture recommendations for people to watch, listen, consume in the intervening weeks until there's baseball to watch. What do you mean, I said this on the... Slack channel. Yes, yes, okay, you're good. You have something prepared? That's not Wrestle Kingdom?
No, nothing in particular.
All right, well, I won't start with you then. Kate, what do you got?
I did. I prepped this, and I have a few weeks prep, so you have to bring me back. Mm. My first one, Happy Endings, is coming to Hulu, and it's fantastic.
I did see that. I'm very excited about that.
Okay, see, we do have the same TV taste, don't we? I'm like halfway through season 2, because when I heard that, I started rewatching it. But it's great, and everyone needs to watch Happy Endings.
Aaron.
I couldn't think of anything that I watched that's, like, mainstream consumable. I'm eventually going to catch up.
Not mainstream consumable.
That's true. But that's, like, baseball weird, and then there's, like, other weird stuff. But I would do... I mean, I'm eventually going to catch up on Game of Thrones, but... So that's what I want to do before baseball season starts, because baseball season starts around the same time as Game of Thrones, so I guess this is a good time to catch up on that, and I'll think of something, hopefully, by the time Steve's done. Although,
Steve might Netflix, not know anything by now, either.
My friend was telling me something he was watching on Netflix that was really good. I'll look up
Making
the text.
A Murder?
Yes, the Murderer series. Everyone's talking about that now.
Yeah.
So basic.
And something I actually watched was Kimmy Schmidt, which is awesome, especially if you love 30 Rock when it was on NBC. You'll love Kimmy Schmidt.
I wasn't a fan of that show.
Then you won't like Kimmy Schmidt.
Exactly. I gave like 2 episodes. I tried. I don't know.
I was underwhelmed by Bob and Dave, I'll say that.
It's Bob and Dave.
It's the Mr. Show guys with their new show that's not Mr. Show.
What's that on?
Netflix.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one yet.
Do you have something, Steve?
Just trying to think of some stuff. I don't know. I watched... Netflix has a really, really, really good show. I know it was panned by the critics. I don't know why. But Marco Polo on Netflix.
I love Marco Polo, and it's terrible, but it's... watchable.
I mean, I love that. I'm a, you know, I enjoy history very much, and the history of the Silk
Road. No resemblance to history.
And the history of the Silk Road is like my favorite thing.
Yeah,
so like,
no
hey,
no resemblance.
It's a setting set here. Awesome. But
it's somewhere between like Game of Thrones and like Xena Warrior Princess, like directly in the middle of that continuum. And it's kind of amazing. And you have plenty of time to catch up. I think it's coming back summer of 2016. I watched their Christmas special.
Yeah, they had a single episode.
Yeah.
which they were hyping, and it was like 25 minutes.
It was fine. I was a little disappointed by that. I was expecting like a full like Doctor Who style Christmas special.
Right. It felt like it was like a flashback scene they just took out of another episode because yes. They were crunched for time.
It does feel like that. But yes, I recommend Marco Polo. It's kind of trashy, but in a good way. I am going to recommend Lone Lady's 2015 album Hinterland, because Ian Miller, who you might know from the Productive Outs podcast, or various, I think it's like 7 different bands right now, most notably Puig Destroyer and Kowloon Walled City, kept recommending it on Twitter over and over again. So I gave it a listen, and it is what I imagine a Brian Eno-produced Talking Heads album would sound like in 2015, and that is the highest praise I can give anything outside of the 2080 scale, so there you go. If you want something longer than 40-ish minutes, Stuart Lee Comedy Vehicle Season 3 just got uploaded to Netflix, so if you really enjoy the parts of the podcast where I'm being incredibly condescending, I do recommend that. It's actually really funny, but it is a very specific kind of humor. I mean, it is British, so it's kind of like England-specific, but London is a close enough parallel to like New York City at this point. It's basically the same jokes.
That's not true.
It kind of is.
It's... Are you...
He no. lives... He kind of lives in a portion of London that's like Williamsburg, so...
Our English hipsters are way weirder than American hipsters, and that is a...
I mean, I guess if we're talking about, like dudes and bowlers getting drunk in Soho, those aren't actually hipsters.
No, I mean, my cousins are English hipsters, and they're all... Like, they're just... They're weird human beings.
Oh, he's... Yeah, fine.
They're odd.
I mean, he's from Birmingham, so it's not like he's a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrap up the podcast with your first IFK Gothenburg update of 2016. They had their first official practice today. We are a scant 6 weeks from kicking off their Svenska Cupen defense. They've been drawn against Halmstad's BK, Degerfors IF, and IK Fredge. They're the only Allsvenskan team in that group, as Halmstad's was relegated to the Super Etten after last season. So it looks good for them to at least get through the group stage and into the, I don't know if it's the quarterfinal, I think it's the quarterfinals. It starts up February 20th, and the quarterfinals start up in the middle of March. It will bring you all the IFK Gothenburg news you have come to expect from this podcast, on this podcast, in 2016. And other good Gothenburg sports news, a Gothenburg bowler won the PBA Chameleon Open last week, Jesper Svensson, two-handed lefty. Qualified number one, rolled through match play and the TV show to win his second PBA title. Everything's coming up, Gothenburg. That's what I got. This is your first podcast of 2016. Hopefully they won't all be train wrecks like this one. I think it wasn't that bad. As Aaron's computer starts up again. Yeah, great. I'm going to send you that link for the headset, Mike. It's fine.
Sounds like aliens are landing.
It does.
Someone I can't imagine what it could be.
It's your laptop fan.
I don't even hear it, though.
That's weird.
I certainly do.
Yeah, everyone else does, and it's not us.
I'll have to listen to it.
Well, it's one of you three, because coming in my output feed. And I'm pretty sure it's Aaron.
It's not me.
Well, it started when I dialed into him first, so not really a surprise. We'll get these kinks worked out next week, as like that podcaster in the Onion article. Promise I'll be better next week. I think I have committed to a Chris Flexen video scouting session with Greg Karam next week, too. Because it's about Amazon Avenue prospect list time, which I have nothing to do with. Sort of. Mostly nothing to do with. This is Greg Karam's baby. We may have lost Aaron. It's fine. But we'll see you next. Oh, no, he's back.
I muted my mic.
Yeah, it's definitely you then.
Oh.
We'll figure it out. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You're never allowed back on the podcast.
This might not mean anything to anyone. I might have figured out a way to remove the noise and Audacity. We'll find out. One way or the other, though, we will see you next week for another edition of Amazing Avenue Audio.
I'm Colin the Butterfly from the Current Account Switch Service. Welcome to my stress-free steps to switching. First, search your inner self and find the perfect current account. There are over 40 UK banks and building societies signed up. Next, clear your mind and pick a switch date. Just allow 7 working days for accounts to switch. Finally, relax. Your new bank will do the rest.
Find out more at simplerworld.co.uk. Eligibility subject to status. Overdraft transfer subject to credit status. See full eligibility details at simplerworld.co.uk.